Joining me now for a look at the day's market moves is David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities and Martin Smith from Anchor Capital. Thank you so much for your time, gentlemen. Starting with you, David, the last time we spoke was at the beginning of October, and it was about your expectations for the month of October after a volatile September. And you actually said, you know what, even though we had a volatile month, there's really nothing to worry about. There's no crisis. And here we are. Commodities are up, markets in the green with better than expected U.S. Earnings. Also, we had weekly jobless claims coming below 300,000 since the pandemic started. Is it all good in the hood?
Did I really say that?
You said that.
I probably never felt it.
You said there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
You're a genius, David.
But things are okay. You know where I've got. I was reading through the bank results from the U.S. banks, from Jamie Dimon to the Goldman Sachs report to, and overall, the general view is okay. You know, people feel good about the economy, and you saw that reflected in the retail sales as well. People are going out there, they are spending, and I think we get so carried away with the short-term worries about inflation. I'm not saying they're not worries, but I mean, we get involved in a lot of noise that we don't really know much about. But when you look through the economy and, you know, you hear what they're saying, and I think they've got a much better feel than I have, they feel good about what's happening. So I'm going to take the lead from them and blame Jamie Dimon. So it goes wrong.
Market, do you share the same positive sentiments for the month of October? I mean, after that month, basically in the red in September.
Yeah, absolutely, I do. I feel like a bit of a broken record for the better part of the year. I've just been saying I think it's going to be volatility, but I think there's massive tailwinds. American consumers in good shape. Things are recovering nicely. There's still cheap money for now, and I think you just hold through the volatility and. Yes, you have got swings of risk on, risk off. And I think David's point is really well made. We get so caught up in the minutiae, the detail of everything, the noise of everything, the bigger picture stuff. Things are looking positive. The world's returning to normal. There's still value out there. Equities are pretty much the only kind of game in town at the moment still offshore. So I think you just hold on through the volatility and you keep buying quality companies, and I think you'll continue to see them track upwards.
But don't forget, we still have supply chain disruptions. We still have chip shortages. I mean, it seems like the picture is rosy from the demand side, looking at, you know, the bank figures and the retail figures. It seems like from the demand side of the equation, things are good. But then you look at this other side. So, I mean, David, for you, what does that mean for, you know, your forecast for global growth? Do you think it's going to go in one way, or is there going to be this continuous push and pull?
Well, I'm not that clever, you know, to understand it. So I have to read reports. And, you know, I look at the IMF, and they tell us that, you know, the world's going to grow, I don't know, 5.9%, whatever it is. Next year, it's going to grow at also a very good number, you know. So I must assume that they've got people who look ahead and understand what's happening and can project. And I think, you know, even if they're wrong, which they generally are, so I have to say, but at least they're in the right direction. You know, I'm not saying that they write in terms of where the direction, maybe the second decimal point is out. But I mean, overall, things are looking good. And you know what? I looked at the Chinese export numbers that came out this week, and they were up 23%. So I'm saying, hello, they're still manufacturing. So they're still pushing out stuff. So I think it's more that demand is just overwhelmed supply, that the suppliers can't keep up. I don't really think it's a supply issue. It's more that the demand at the moment, as people come out and spend their savings, has just caught everybody by surprise, which I think will settle down. So I think, you know, in a few months we'll get back to some kind of normality, and things will, you know, we'll go back to we'll start getting our goods in time, if that's what you're worried about.
David, you're saying that...
Did you order something for Christmas or something that you're not getting? Is that what's upsetting you?
Not yet. And you can tell the worry here. You can tell the worry. And I mean, David, you mentioned that, you know, Chinese exports are a bright spot. But moving on to you, Martin, I read a report, an article today that said that 10 big banks have downgraded their growth forecast for China. But I mean, that economy is very significant for global growth. And I mean, how are you reconciling reports like that, downgrading the forecast for Chinese growth, and then you have the IMF upgrading their own forecast?
Again, I think it comes back to that first point. I think there's a lot of data out there, a lot of data points, some kind of in agreement, some contradicting each other. And I think at the end of the day, what I'm trying to do, and for my clients, is just choose quality companies, good growth profiles, good management teams, good return on invested capital, and just try to find them at attractive valuations and get in. And again, just ride through the noise, because again, I think the point is so well made by David. We can get so caught up in the detail of this data point. And for example, even that weekly jobless claims number yesterday, I mean, it's a weekly number. Yes, it was positive and it fits the rhetoric of, yes, the labor market is rebounding in the States, but it's also a weekly number. So we're getting caught up in what's happening weekly. And I think at the end of the day, the way we make money is good companies over long periods of time.
All right. There is one area that I want to now focus on with the economics playing out between supply and demand. We see that in oil. Some analysts are talking about an entrenched deficit in the oil market. We had Goldman Sachs saying that oil prices, they predict that oil prices will be elevated for the next couple of years, predicting an $85 per barrel level for the next several years, saying that by the end of the year, it could go to $90 per barrel. David, do you see this increase in the oil price being transitory, or do you see a more permanent repricing in that oil price?
You know, it's a very difficult question, because we had an abundance of oil a few years ago. You know, 3 or 4 years ago, 5 years ago, everybody was talking about abundance of coal, abundance of gas, abundance of oil, and oil prices were subdued. And now what's happened, there's a shortage. It's because during those abundant times, no one reinvested in additional supply. So we've been caught by this mismatch where there's been no additional investment. And you have to do that to replace what you're, you know, to replenish what you're using, which the oil companies haven't done, or any of the other businesses. So I think this probably will be temporary, but I don't think we're going to find oil coming all the way back to the 40s and 50s. It might ease back, but I mean, for the meantime, you know, it's a bit of a worry, especially if you're in Europe and you can't get gas. You know, we used to it. We know about those things, but you know, for the poor Europeans, this is something completely new.
Yeah.
You know, no heat.
You know, coming back to our local market, we saw the JC also ending up in the green. That sentiment of filtering through from a global market. So actually, the hospital groups leading the winners on the JC. We had an update from MediClinic today, basically saying that their elective surgeries are coming back. They're making a recovery. Their revenues are back to pre-pandemic levels, and actually even more. And I mean, we have seen the hospital groups, you know, time and time again, whenever they release trading statements, we see a more improved performance. Is this a sign that things are getting back to normal, Martin?
Touch wood, it means we are hopefully getting towards the end of COVID, because as COVID kind of abates, people start to go in for elective surgeries, whether it be knee replacements, heart valves, things like that, shoulder operations and the like, which is actually where the margin is for these businesses. So if things continue in the current trend and we are starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel from a COVID perspective, the operations that'll go on in hospitals will be more profitable for them. So yes, very, very positive. So very solid set of numbers out of MediClinic. I think maybe it's all in the price now. I think it's looking a bit full from where I'm kind of standing. I think going forward, probably got kind of mid-single digit growth coming out of the business. Maybe if they pay down some debt, you get a kicker from interest payments being lower. So not particularly excited about the business. Again, I think it's quite full, but positive from a global perspective that hopefully we are starting to see the end of this.
David, I want to pick your brain on, you know, between sectors. So we have the hospitality sector and we have the healthcare sector, both really hard hit by the pandemic and both really set to benefit from the reopening. We have hospitality stocks set to benefit from the silly season, and also South Africa being removed from the UK red list. And then you have the hospital groups really seeming like they are managing every single wave and every lockdown that comes along with the recovery in their revenue-making streams. I mean, looking at these two, for you know, these are my thoughts, because for hospitality, it seems that, you know, whenever these lockdowns come and these waves come, they don't really have much to do, in fact, in terms of managing it. And then you have these hospital groups that seem to really be managing to pick up their profits whenever we see another wave of COVID-19. I just want your thoughts. I mean, are these sectors to go into, or maybe do you have a preference?
I would prefer the hospitality sector, because I think the turnaround is going to be fast. I think that my view is that people want to get out, they want to go away. Maybe they can't go overseas, you know, because it's still difficult getting visas and flights and everything. But I reckon the coastal towns, the holiday resorts are going to be packed out by in December. And I think you're going to get a very fast turnaround. I don't know if you've tried booking, but I would imagine it's going to be much more difficult. So I think that there's going to be a sharp turnaround in the hospitality sector. And that's going to include, you know, the restaurants and everything related to that. So, you know, brace yourself for what I think is going to be a really good season.
All right, nice. And
Roaring 20s, David.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
All right, gentlemen, on to your stock picks. Martin, what's your stock pick for today?
Launch for Life. We had some news out of the business yesterday. Operationally looking really good. A lot of cash on the balance sheet. You've got a buyer potentially waiting in the wings. I think if something happens from a corporate action perspective, it would have to be well in excess of R6 to get shareholders interested. So I think there could be quite a good risk reward kind of option. So Launch for Life.
All right, David, stock pick.
I'm into chips. I think that, not those that you put in the plastic bag or but I mean, the semiconductor industry, I think, is going to roar. I've just been reading, and I'm going to choose TSM, which has had a torrid year, but is now starting to make a comeback. That's Taiwan Semiconductor. I just think, and according to them, again, it's their forecast that, you know, that chip demand is going to double by in the next decade. I mean, or sales will double in the next decade. So everything we use is going to have a semiconductor. I just think that it's the base of the whole technological growth. So just stock up now. And little things, but you can get by lots of them. You know?
Indeed, we have many of these sectors fighting over those chips that are in short supply at the moment. But thank you very much for your time, gentlemen. That was David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities and Martin Smith from Anchor Capital. We'll be right back.